I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, where you'll learn about American history, current events, and so much more. Follow and listen to me on Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you folks stayed up last night for that game, that took a long time. It didn't end till almost 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm talking the Dodgers versus the Toronto Blue Jays. This thing was tied up. It went 18 innings.
18 innings. And then, out of nowhere, Freddie Freeman steps to the plate. It's kind of a spoiler, I guess, if you know it ends after 18 innings. But he had this happen. This happened.
Freeman sends a fly ball to center field. Varsho's going back before the clock strikes midnight. Freddie Freeman has ended it. It's a repeat hero with the last word on a Game 3 classic.
Yeah, that's a long one.
Wow, come on. You're telling me you're not tough enough to sit through almost a seven-hour baseball game?
Oh, my God, no.
But they're on West Coast time, so it's different. No, it's not.
I watched that game last night. Not the whole thing, because I was flipping back and forth from the Chiefs that just routed the other team, the Commanders. My condolences to Brian. I know he's a huge fan, but it took a total of 19 pitchers at about midnight. I said, I am making the executive decision to turn this off. Because I knew, I had this feeling it would go longer. So it went on and on and on. A total of 19 pitchers, 10 for the Dodgers, combined to throw 609 pitches in the game that ended at, it says 11:50 p.m. West Coast. So that would be, 2:50 p.m. East Coast.
There's something fairy tale esque when the announcer gets to say just before midnight. Very Disney esque. I like that. Clock strikes.
I can't imagine being standing there for that long.
There is something I think about baseball where nine inning games sometimes can drag on a little bit. If you hit an extra inning game, it's like 13 innings. It's like when you hit those marathon games, it feels special again. After like five, I'm gonna guess after 15 innings, it's just like we're in this for the long haul.
Well, I think it feels special for the Dodgers.
Well, yeah,
I'm
guess
sure it was exhausting for the Blue Jays.
They're probably like, I guess after all, because you really exhaust your roster.
If that was in the Toronto, stadium, I don't think it would have been so raucous. Obviously, it would have been like, anyway.
Yeah.
So the final there was it ended up being the win for the Dodgers. So they are now up 2-1. In the series. So there you go. Remember, it's just a game, not the whole series yet.
It's easy
not
to
the
say
whole
that.
Series yet. Oh, no, just, that's what
yeah. I get what you're saying.
They were so it's exciting though. It's obviously a huge deal. You put so much into that, like the energy expended, everything. And it sucks when you come out, the loser in a game like that, I'm sure. But
well, especially
it's on to the next game.
Especially when you play the equivalent of two full games.
Honest to God.
It's just
exhausting.
That'd be a fun little rule change, by the way. If you play 18 innings, it counts as two wins. I mean, it feels like it should. That's something maybe they could consider someday. No, they won't do that. I'll leave that to the Savannah Bananas and Banana Ball, all those people.
The Savannah Bananas. All right. Let's talk about what happened in Lackawanna County. Talk about someone getting in and just shuffling things up just for the heck of it. I watch this and I think this is has just been petty all along, and it's just I don't know,
Nancy.
I don't get this.
It can be put in words best as Joan Hodowitz, a resident, stood up, and this is a clip that's being shared a lot because
mean Hodowitz? Okay. Yes,
she said Hodo. Oh, anyway,
maybe I got it wrong, but that's
okay.
It was.
If it is, I can call her and correct her. No, I don't know. Maybe I got it wrong. My bad if I did. She got up and described the meeting.
Joan Hodowitz.
You're right. I'm so sorry about that, Joan.
Joan Hodowitz Scranton. You know, there's a phrase that comes to mind when you attend a meeting such as this: theater of the absurd.
I mean,
you can't make this stuff up.
She's right.
Yeah. Well, so in case people don't know what we're referencing. And I know that we kind of got, yeah, we got the word over the weekend that something was coming. All right. So do you want to lay this out through like a story format, or do you want us to?
I mean, we can hear what happened. I mean, the gist
it's
was
the theater of the absurd is what she said.
Well, right. She says that when you hear some of this stuff, and some of it's a little bit long, but.
Well, let's just explain something ahead of time. Brenda Sacco sworn in, even though she's only supposed to be there for a little bit more than 2 weeks, sworn in because of the Supreme Court ruling. So. You know, we knew some things were happening. I don't know what exactly you have there. So,
hang on. Here is this was toward the when they finally swore her in. Bill Gaughan was up there, and he starts to explain kind of his issue with this whole process because he lost the chair position.
I make a motion to appoint Commissioner Brenda Sacco as board chair.
Second. No.
No. All right. So wait.
Yeah, what?
That was not Bill Gaughan.
No,
that
we're
was
getting,
Chris Chermak.
I know. This is the point where they start making that. He steps up.
I'm just
up
trying
there.
To explain to people.
I understand.
Chris Chermak was the one who then, and he's the was the minority commissioner. So he, you know, wanted her to become chair, and they need to second it, and she seconded it for herself. Okay.
Yeah. Yes, and then he steps up. No! After the people start screaming.
Bill Gaughan steps up.
There's been a motion and a second on the question. First, I thank everybody for coming out this morning. I'd like to congratulate the new Republican majority in Lackawanna County, Commissioner Chermak and Sacco, on their takeover of county government. And I do think that it's important for me to at least take a few minutes to speak frankly about what I believe is actually happening this morning and what it means for the people that we represent. The gears of county government are being shifted behind closed doors, not in the service of the public, but in the service of a factional, naked power grab. It is a desperate attempt by the time-worn, self-interested leadership of a small group of cronies to snatch back the governing power that the electorate emphatically transferred in the last election in 2023 to a new generation of leaders. Just a few weeks ago, as some of you pointed out in your comments, Commissioner Sacco testified in Lackawanna County Court that she would not present herself to the public to be considered for the special election because she would have to resign from her state job, which pays roughly $80,000 a year to do so, and the risk was just too great. Understandable. She did relinquish that job shortly thereafter, however, to accept an appointment, even though the very court order by which she was appointed states clearly that she may serve only until the voters choose a new commissioner in the next election.
He goes on toward the end of this. I'm going to skip ahead because he point blank asks Brenda Sacco the question everyone wanted the answer to.
So, Commissioner Sacco, with all due respect to you, I know that a lot of people have this question on their minds in Lackawanna County, and I certainly do. So I'm going to ask you directly. Are you going to recognize the results of this special election for commissioner and vacate your seat when the new commissioner has been elected, regardless of who it is?
I have no comment.
No comment. There you go, folks.
Yeah, it just gets ugly.
Yeah. Well, it is ugly.
It was, there's a lot of heckling. There was a lot of back and forth, and everyone's real passionate about how they feel. But it seems like there's a lot, to me at least, it seems if you ask that question, I understand why she's saying no comment, because there's clearly something else going on.
Well, I mean, I would prefer if someone is in a position of public leadership, albeit for 2.5 weeks or beyond, perhaps, that the best, most transparent thing would be to be honest, which would be, I hope to stay here, because she's already said that, I believe, through the attorney. I hope to stay here. I will pursue legal avenues to do so. But should I fail, I will respect the will of the people. It's a pretty simple answer. Be honest. Don't be, I can't comment. I mean, honestly, this thing is, it's gotten petty. They fired the communications director yesterday.
Yeah.
I think that's just horrible. And again, it's not because I have an axe to grind or anything. I hoped and I always thought this should be something that the will of the people should fill this position for the rest of this situation. Now, we know that now, according to the Supreme Court, the Home Rule Charter would take precedent. She may not have liked the legal avenues he took, but he still could take those legal avenues to try to argue this case. And it is settled now for the near term. The point I'm making is that let's just say she's only there for 2.5 weeks.
Right.
Why would you fire anybody? I don't like stuff like that because it seems very petty and personal. You shouldn't fire somebody because you can. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
To go, oh, okay, I'm going to come in and I'm just going to fire somebody. I get it. If you do win your legal challenge and can stay there, you can certainly have this alliance with a minority member, even though it's someone from the other party. Right. You can do that. And you can both come up with and say, we would like somebody to represent us. And then you can make a change. Not to say you can't terminate somebody.
Sure.
But you don't know how long you're going to be there. And I would just think that the thing you should do is say, that's something for the next people who are here permanently, at least, permanently through the term. I just find that to be very, very petty and childish. And I don't like to see that in county government.
I think
it could have been done so much better. It could have been, look, it's 2 weeks. It's 2 weeks and then, do your legal challenge. But why would you terminate somebody from a position, throw them out of a job? Now, some people may say, well, she was tossed when they got in. And I'm not saying that that's okay, but it is something that happens when you change leadership. That is an unfortunate side effect sometimes of working in some kind of state, local, county government. As soon as new people come in, other people get tossed. In this case, we don't know how long she's going to be there. And it seems awfully petty to just bounce somebody when you don't know if you're going to be there beyond 2 weeks.
When you had Lackawanna County residents step up to ask questions, another question was brought up by Alexis Kelly from Newton Township, who basically pressed Sacco on this, what are you going to do? Why are you doing it this way? And she basically said, back in March, 8 months later, now I'm sitting here. There was no special election at the time. And that's why she said her answer changed about whether or not she would accept this seat. Or why she would, why she wouldn't be in the special. Sorry, she wasn't going to run. I want to get to this clip, though. I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself, Nancy. She talked about the change and why she's sitting there now. And from her perspective, she's a victim here.
I had no idea the Supreme Court was going to come back last Monday with their decision. And when they did, I had to take this seat for the short... Yeah, I did. Actually, I had to stand up for the rights of individuals that got bullied, which I was bullied by the Commissioner Gaughan in the legal system for the last...
A lot of bullying going on.
Well, he weaponized the legal system. And I had to... What kind of role model would I be for my daughter if I didn't? So that's why I'm here.
Oh, boy. Don't even get me there. You know what? The legal system is the legal system. We don't have to like it. You don't have to like it. You can say that I felt it was unfair, but the answer isn't that I'm going to bully people back. I don't think that's the appropriate answer either. So I get that you didn't like it. I don't understand why, if you think you're such a good fit, you didn't run. Like, that's weird. You left your job for 2.5 weeks, but you wouldn't leave your job for a few months to run for this position. I'm really confused by all of that. It's very strange.
It's not easy to follow. It really isn't. Everyone seems to think they have the inside legal track to make this the way they want it to be. I don't know.
You can look. It's the law. They went through the channels. You don't have to like it, and But the one thing you can control is how you react to it. And I just think the whole thing became. It's been petty, but it's gotten even more petty.
With all that drama we just heard, it feels like it's already next month. It really does. I just feel exhausted from listening to some of that.
It's like on the national level and now a local level, this whole like petty politics just run wild. In case you were up and gave up and didn't stay up until almost 3 o'clock in the morning. The winner of Game 3 of the World Series at Dodger Stadium was the Dodgers. Freddie Freeman, walk-off home run, the win 6-5. That was a long game. It went 18 innings. God love you. If you stood up all night for that, you're going to, if you have any fans out there that maybe you work with, they're going to be pretty tired this morning. So just what a crazy game that was. All right. We were talking about Lackawanna County politics and just how crazy those twists and turns are there. And we'll get back to that. And certainly you can text us your thoughts, because now the majority Democrat commissioners, it was, you know, Gaughan and McGloin. McGloin leaves, the big fight that takes months. Now Brenda Sacco is sworn in, I guess, as a Democrat, but she has become the majority commissioner and the speaker there. She's in charge for the next, I guess, 2.5 weeks, perhaps longer, depending on her fight in the county. But they've also they changed the county solicitor to her attorney who represented her. They fired the communications director. All of this before any of you got a chance to vote. And she's not even on the ballot. But we'll get back to that through the morning, because there's so much more to that going on. Also, and we'll get back after we take a break here, but there's more concerning news on the healthcare front, health insurance front, especially locally, because we've just found out that Lehigh Valley Health Network is making a decision perhaps about dropping one of the insurance coverers for about 70,000 of their patients. So if you are a Lehigh Valley Health Network patient, listen up. We'll give you the details and we'll get into it. But there's a big insurer that they may be dropping for coverage. So you may have to be scrambling to find other providers.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, where you'll learn about American history, current events, and so much more. Follow and listen to me on Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
As if we don't have enough to worry about with healthcare insurance costs as we start to see, I don't know about you guys, even with our insurance through work, there are hefty increases and concerns, obviously, about what's going to happen on the marketplaces across the country for these Obamacare ACA ending of the no extension on those subsidies, which could really lead to doubling, if not more than doubling costs. We're getting news locally that Lehigh Valley Health Network is planning to drop United Healthcare insurance plans. These would be plans that you either get with the, you know, the Medicare supplement. They're called Medicare Advantage plans. Yep. And also for those who get United Healthcare commercial insurance policies, maybe you get it through work or on your own. Right. They are planning to drop it because they say that for 2 years now, they've been trying to come up with reimbursement amounts that they can both agree on. Now, LVHN is part of Jefferson Health. Just want people to know, if you have any kind of doctors through Jefferson Health, this does not affect you. It just affects the part that is the Lehigh Valley Health Network. And they do make that clear, you know, in discussions about this. But if you have any physicians that are Lehigh Valley Health Network, and you're also talking the hospitals, the one in Dixon City, there's one in Hazleton, East Stroudsburg, and Pottsville. And if they can't come to any new agreement, that means contracts for those who are on the Medicare Advantage plan, those would end January the 25th of the new year. For people who have it through commercial insurance policies, it's April 25th of the new year. So you would need to make decisions. Many people would say, I've got to go with someone that's covered. If you don't want to change doctors, you can, but you'll just be considered out of network, and that gets more expensive for you. So this is a problem for anyone who is United Healthcare patient and you're going through Lehigh Valley Health Network. Maybe they'll come to an agreement before the end of the year.
It's crazy to think the verbiage is almost, it's very similar to when DirecTV or YouTube TV says, we're having a contract dispute with our affiliates and you may lose access to all the ABC channels. And you're like, oh, stop it. Just sign a new deal. But then we're dealing with people's health. Like, it's right. The same kind of thing. They're not negotiating well. They're not coming up to, you know, they're not coming up with an agreement. And now they're just like, okay.
Right. Well, in this case,
it's scary.
It's for LVHN, they also risk obviously losing a lot of people. I don't know a lot of people. I don't know a lot of people who are going to say, okay, I'll take the hit and do the out-of-network thing.
No.
Because it gets much more pricey in addition to the costs of insurance going up. So LVHN can talk about it, but they also risk losing a lot of patients as well. Of course, United Healthcare is saying, oh, you're leveraging patients, you know, and their health and safety, which, you know, is kind of ironic when you have to fight with your healthcare insurance company, including United Healthcare, as one of the highest numbers of denials, you know, for insurance, claiming that, you know, they're worried about their patients. But both sides, the last time this happened, I guess, the Scranton Times Tribune talks about how LVHN had threatened to stop accepting Aetna plans back in 2022. Because of, you know, the reimbursements as well. And the two sides came to an agreement, I guess, before the end of the year. So hopefully, I guess the one hopeful thing is it's been going on for 2 years. Maybe the fact that this has gone public means the two sides will be forced to come up with some kind of a compromise. But if it's not, there's another worry for people when it comes to getting the care that they want.
It is nice, though, to hear that United Healthcare is standing up saying, I can't believe you're going to charge more. It's very rare, you know. Didn't see that one coming.
Crazy. Yeah, so that's definitely something to be concerned about. If you have United Healthcare, whether it's the Advantage plan or something through commercial insurance, but it definitely will affect you if they can't come to an agreement. If you didn't want to stay up late, it went 18 innings, Game 3 of the World Series. The Dodgers had a walk-off homer in the 18th inning.
I don't
know. Game went till almost 3 o'clock in the morning, folks. Just crazy. So now the Dodgers up 2-1 in that series.
Yeah, a body shop guy texted in, and always fun when we're not talking politics. But he says, wouldn't it be lousy to have gone to a bar to watch that game and they toss you out at last call, which would be before 2 a.m., and you can't even finish the game? I don't know how many people are going out to watch games anymore, but yeah, that's crazy because the bars would close at 2 and the game didn't end till like 3 almost.
I honestly don't know many bars that stay open until 2 a.m. anymore. Especially not on a weeknight.
So it seems like you don't go to the good bars.
No, it's weird. No, I'm serious. A lot of them don't. I know some of them do, but I'm just saying a lot of the ones that you used to, you know, be able to stay at. It's a very different world since the whole COVID thing. Speaking of COVID, that's when the family from Andy Perugino's restaurant, pretty much got out of the business there. That restaurant, though, which has been open for 92 years. The owners of that business now have announced that they will be closing. And I'm looking at the Andy Perugino's restaurant page on Facebook, where it was posted yesterday. After many incredible years of serving you, we've made the difficult decision to close our doors due to health reasons. This wasn't an easy choice. This restaurant has been our home, our passion, and our connection to many of you who have become like family. There's a really great write-up by Bob Kalinowski in the Citizen's Voice talking about the history of Andy Perugino's.
Yep.
And really, really a mainstay, a well-known place. And it was featured, and I'm going, isn't this the one from that movie, The Irishman?
Right? Is it?
Yeah.
That's
and,
crazy.
Some wise guys supposedly had visited in the past, reputed mob boss Russell Bufalino, alleged mafia hitman Frank the Irishman Sheeran, key suspects in the 1975 disappearance of labor leader Jimmy Hoffa, and inspirations of the 2019 movie The Irishman about the Hoffa case. So I don't know if it was the one featured in that movie, but these are people that had, been there. And it was so well known, and it was political circles would go there of both political parties. And it's, what?
I had seen more wholesome-esque names like Jack Palance and Joe Paterno and Franco Harris, but you had the seedier. That's yeah, it's crazy, the history here.
Yeah.
Wild.
It's pretty amazing. So this was a place, an iconic restaurant.
Yeah.
And it had, you know, been a mainstay part of that area for, and they're in Luzerne, by the way, but I think many people know that, is closing after 92 years in business. So you hate to, you know, again, see another landmark go.
It's not easy, though, running these businesses, especially when they get passed down. You know, I feel like there's probably a psychological factor that none of us will really understand, which is wanting to continue it for family's sake, but knowing how hard it is.
Well, yeah. And I believe it had new owners in the last number of years.
I know it's so, passed down. Okay. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's still one of those things that, you know, you kind of get used to, obviously, seeing for all your life, and then to think that it will be gone is sad. All right. We were talking before the break about LVHN and the issues they're having with United Healthcare, and that there may be 70,000 patients affected if they no longer accept United Healthcare insurance. I'm hoping that this leads to some kind of an agreement between them to continue. If not, and you're a patient, and you have United Healthcare, whether it's the Advantage plan or the commercial insurance plan, you'll have some decisions to make come next year. And you'll either, you know, change your doctors that are covered, or you're going to be out of network, but they may come to an agreement. There's another story health-wise in the news today, and it talks about how Geisinger is using artificial intelligence to identify patients who are at high risk for breast cancer. So it's a pilot program. And I guess yesterday they discussed this to talk about, you know, this new program that's come through. And it's something where they're going to share information about, and they worked with the American Cancer Society on this as well, to talk about this new pilot program. And so they're going to, the AI model will evaluate primary care patients who are overdue for a mammogram and flag the patients at the highest risk based on the information in their electronic health records. So when you go in and they say, do you have family member this? You know, did you ever have history of that? They'll be able to scan through all of those family histories, find those at the highest risk, and contact them and schedule them for a mammogram. And they talk about how the earlier we detect it, the better the outcomes, and especially true for breast cancer. And obviously getting an earlier detection leads to a better treatment and a better outcome. And I think it's a great idea, but, you know, still, I think it's like 80 to 85% of breast cancers do not come through any kind of genetic, you know, risk. It can be sporadic in the majority of cases. So while it can help you get people most likely to get it, you obviously still need, you know, everyone needs to go, because you can't just assume, you know, oh, it has to have a family history. No, you don't.
Yeah, if you go in, I'm guessing you go in and they go, oh, you don't have the marker, you still have to get tested. Yeah, it's not a get out of jail free card. You still could get caught. It's scary stuff.
Mm-hmm. So they're using AI, and it is, as we've heard, it is something that they will be utilizing more and more in healthcare as well. Because, you know, you go, that's the biggest problem. One of the biggest problems in healthcare is you go to, you know, different doctors, and not everybody connects the dots. And if you're using AI and they're able to pull all that information in, you know, maybe that helps.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Better outcomes for patients. There's a lot of coaching vacancies now. I don't know if you talked about it yesterday, if the news had come out about LSU and their coach, Brian Kelly. A parting of the ways. Has it been official yet? Because I saw like, oh, they're not paying him the full amount. And then I heard that's a disputed report and somebody else is spending the 50 some million. And I'm like so confused. But he's out. I guess they told the players. Yeah. And now there's a bunch of places, not just Penn State, looking for coaches. And I love online. If you go online, especially like X, you've got all these fans and they're all like literally attacking each other about which job is better. Is the LSU job? Let's rank which coaching jobs are the most, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's like, come on. Wow. Anyway, there's some news possibly on the Penn State front and their head coach search. Here's a couple of headlines. Why the Ohio State Buckeyes could lose Brian Hartline this offseason. Another, the odds of the Ohio State football team losing Brian Hartline just got higher. Big Ten offensive coordinator emerges as candidate for Penn State job. So, yes, there are more and more reports coming out now that the offensive coordinator for Ohio State, Brian Hartline, is a candidate for the Nittany Lion football job.
Yeah, he's got NFL experience. Sure, part of it was with the Cleveland Browns. That's a little dicey.
Hey, you never know. Now, he hasn't been a head coach, so when you hear people go, all right, what about experience? And then others say, but you know how many greats, you know, didn't have head coaching experience? Sure. I mean, you can also say there have been clunkers as well. But he does have the record as a coach in that, you know, as an offensive coordinator. He does have a national championship ring. He's still a young guy. He's in his 30s. There are people I saw that say he'd be great, but when the coach leaves Ohio State, wouldn't he just go back there again? And I'm like, well, if you do really well at Penn State, why would you leave? But it's all about the money, I think, anyway.
I am kind of fascinated by the contracts that they must sign, because the fact that, you know, Matt Rhule has a chance to leave and go to a division team. Like, it's weird to me that there's no non-competes internally, that they can just go, oh, yeah, I know I have a contract, but I'm out. I guess I just don't want people who don't want to be in those jobs to stay. Maybe that's it. But, yeah, that guy, Brian Hartline, fits all the things the boxes I would check with the exception of experience. If you're not going to go for a massive name, go with someone who would hurt one of your biggest division rivals, Big Ten rivals, Ohio State. And
right, because you're not just gaining somebody, you're taking somebody away. Now, that doesn't always work out, right?
I think we got the defensive coordinator from Ohio State. How'd that work out? Oh, we've lost.
Well, you know, that one takes years for them to understand. I love it when you have
a defense. We don't have years, Nancy.
You have a defense that is so complicated that they say it takes multiple years for them to figure it out. I'm like, that seems like a problem, especially in this whole name and image likeness thing where people can just pop around wherever they go if they don't feel that they're utilized well. It's a whole new world. I'm just amazed at long-term contracts. I mean, do you think you're still going to see these 10-year contracts if people can just pop
That's
out
it's
after
crazy.
A few years? It's really crazy.
Yeah, and by the way, his age, you said he's 38. Yeah. Paterno was 39 when he got the job. Franklin was 41. And let's disregard Bill O'Brien. Forgot to look him up. But like, that's the kind of, historically, that's, I think, the right age. You want someone who can kind of connect with the players and has a long future ahead. But like you said, I think that future may include Ohio State. I would really consider that as a red flag.
That what?
That he could possibly leave for your biggest competitor. Sure, you're taking him up front.
Well, I mean, I think if you is Ryan Day going anywhere anytime soon? I don't know.
You never know.
Right. I mean, who knows? I really think money is a lot of what this is all about. But I mean, honestly, as a fan, would be more open to a Brian Hartline than a Matt Rhule. I think Matt Rhule is like...
I think I soured you on Matt Rhule, and I feel bad because
No, you didn't. I've read a lot about him before, you know, you and I had talked about him. And I don't obviously know the guy, and I don't follow his team a lot, but it just seems like from looking at it, he's more of like a Franklin 2.0. It's just
maybe
I don't see that excitement or enthusiasm that, you know, especially from others. Even when the Heartline news went out, it seemed like a lot of people were like, "Hey, that might be a good idea."
You know, it shows you where they're looking too. It's not like they're just going to big names, because right. Brian Hartline,
which some
not
people
an
are disappointed by. Some people are saying, you know, you need the big name to get the recruits. But I don't know. Does he have enough with Ohio State to still get people who say, oh, that, you know, could be an interesting idea? We'll see. I mean, that's just the only one to come out now. There's some reports that are saying that they supposedly want to have this thing decided by Thanksgiving. But if he's still in this thing until January, would they ever announce that they're leaving after a season before it ends?
Would it be like the players who are like, oh, I'm going in the draft, so I'm not going to play in the championship game? Would the coach just go, I'm going to a different team, I will not be coaching, good luck?
Yeah. What do you folks think about a Brian Hartline as a coach?
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.